This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With the 15th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Jalen Walker, defensive end, Georgia.
I don't know if anybody's seen Michael Parsons before Michael Parsons became Michael Parsons. So to compare him to that type of greatness, put that type of pressure on this young man would be unfair. I think you got to let him come out and be the best version of himself, which I know he will because of who he is and the makeup that we just talked about. I got so much respect for both of the players you just mentioned. And I'm really excited about ours and what we can do with him and some of those dimensions. So he'll have some Michael Parsons-like features, and I'll let him, determine what he can be when he gets to this league and gets to this level.
The NFL Draft is live now on 92.9 The Game. It is day two of the draft tonight, rounds 2 and 3, and we will have all the picks for you throughout the evening through both rounds, including what is, at the moment at least, the Falcons pick in round number 3. I'm John Fricke alongside Falcons Insider, my buddy Joe Patrick tonight. And Joe, I got to tell you, I'm not sure, just kind of walking in the door here of the rounds 2 and 3, what the Falcons could do tonight comes even remotely close to what they were able to put. Joe, what they pulled off in round number 1.
That was incredible, John. I mean, that's what it feels like. You have those kinds of drafts, once in a decade, once in a generation, that you have that, just the drama that we saw unfold with the Falcons, obviously trading back into the first round to get, a really, really exciting player and, the type of player, the profile of player that Falcons fans have just been craving for so long, that true burner off the edge that can get to the quarterback and finish. Alongside, kind of a hometown favorite, really, in Jalen Walker, obviously from the University of Georgia and all the history there on that end of it. So, yeah, just really got to feel like a spectacular night for the Falcons, I think, from the front office and from the fans. It's one of those few times we get, John, where it feels like everybody's on the same page and everybody's happy about what happened.
Yeah, well, you would think, and yet on my Facebook and on my Twitter, I had people, they spent way too much.
Sure,
it cost me. I mean, like, okay, whatever. I'm just going to roll my eyes. Yeah, you guys don't know what you're talking about. All right, fine. You're not going to kill my vibe here. That's not going to happen because I'm really happy. All right, we're going to spend a couple of minutes talking back about last night and then get into what's ahead tonight. The picks will start at 7 o'clock. The Browns are the first on the board in round number 2. We'll get to that in a minute here. But I want to go back to this because this is 2 years in a row that the Falcons had such a major glaring need on their team. And they don't just address it, Joe. They double up. Last year, worst quarterback room in the league. They go out and get the number one free agent in Kirk Cousins, turn around and draft with the 8th pick, Michael Penix, who they believe is a future franchise quarterback, and let's hope he is. This year, one of the worst pass rushes in the NFL. They got a little bit lucky. I'm not going to argue that. The Jalen Walker fell to him at 15, but then they said, okay, now that happened. Let's be super aggressive and move back into round 1, trade with the Rams, and get James Pierce Jr. So they double up back-to-back years trying to address major needs on this team, and let's just hope it works. But, boy, I tell you what, this is to show you one thing, Joe. Terry Fontenot is not afraid of being aggressive.
No, he's not. And, he said it. He said in the pre-draft interview that he did with media, or the press conference they did with media, that, he keeps a chart. They keep a chart of every GM around the NFL and what their tendencies are when it comes to trading and whether they prefer to trade up or trade down. And someone asked him where he puts himself on that chart, and he says he's about, 75% on the aggressive side. And it makes sense. He comes from the Mickey Loomis Saints, where they are very aggressive in the way that they not just draft, but the way that they just manage the football team and manage adding to the roster. And clearly we've seen Terry Fontenot try to, take those types of swings, whether it is in the draft where we've seen him trade up in the second round almost every single year, and he has traded that pick one way or another every single year. And he's also gone out there and tried to make, you know, aggressive acquisitions in free agency since they've had money to do it the last couple years when it comes to a player like a Calais Campbell, or obviously taking the swing last year on Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons. Obviously, those things have worked out better or worse to some extent, but ultimately, Terry is a general manager who is going to make the aggressive move and an attempt to make the team better. And John, I think it kind of plays into this whole debate about the draft value that occurred in the trade to get back into the first round. And that's just Terry's MO is if he feels like there's a player out there who's going to make them better, he's going to sweeten the pot enough that it gets the job done. And, you know, I respect that. And we will, you know, we being the fans, we being, you know, the front office, well, you know, everybody will hold accountable the decisions that have been made to this point. Again, not all of them great, but I think that so far the majority of people are really on board because it fixes such a clear, or you hope that it fixes such a clear weakness that this Falcons team has had really, not just the last couple of years, for decades, really.
Well, I understand that they gave up their number one next year, right? I get that. I fully understand it. But it was really a swap. And what you traded was a second this year, which is number 46, for a third this year, which is number 101. Mm-hmm. And that's a downgrade. That's to be sure. But let's go back over again, just kind of broadly, what Terry Fontenot as a general manager, better or worse, whether you like him or not. These are just absolute facts. In every case, this is his fifth draft, he has taken the player he had rated highest on the board when he got to pick. Kyle Pitts was his highest rated player on the board. Drake London, his highest rated player on the board. Bijan, he rated Bijan number two overall. We know that he rated Michael Penix, we're almost certain, number one or 1A. Walker was certainly probably in his top seven or eight, and he fell to him at 15.
Yep.
And then Pierce, he probably had in the top 20, which is why he made such an aggressive move to go up to get him at 26.
Yeah, you know, John, I actually think here's my suspicion. Just having heard from, you know, Terry and Raheem in the wake of the draft last night, and just seeing the way that things unfolded, I don't think they really expected Jalen Walker to be there when they picked at 15. And in that case, I think that this team was ready to use that 15th pick on James Pierce Jr. I think that they really felt that highly of him. They revealed, you know, after they drafted him last night that they had met with him and his mother the day prior to the draft starting, kind of being, you know, one of those things that makes you kind of solidify yourself in who you're going to take going into the draft. And then it happens, and, you know, one of the best defensive players and a player that can really help you in a bunch of different areas, and Jalen Walker just kind of falls into your lap. And I think Terry did the responsible thing in this case, which is what Howie Roseman always gets praised for in Philadelphia, which is to just draft the best player that comes to you. And that's exactly what the Falcons did. I think they got the best possible value on the board, the best player available, so to speak, but also a best player available that just fits exactly what they need. And in these two players, John, I just really think that the Falcons have changed the way we think about this Falcons defense. They're just fast, athletic, and when you talk about even the interior players that are going to replace guys like Grady Jarrett and potentially David Onyemata with Ruka Roro, Zach Harrison, these like longer, leaner, more mobile and dynamic interior players, it just feels like a defense that's going to you know, really be able to make a lot of plays and just be a much different feel than I think we've seen here the last several years.
It is going to be an interesting night again, live on 92 on the Game. John Fricke, Joe Patrick, as we bring you rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. And at the moment, we say at the moment, the Falcons hold one pick tonight. It is no longer, obviously, a second-round pick traded away yesterday in the deal to get James Pierce Jr. It is a third-round pick, but who knows? Because that brings up the really big question here and where it gets spicy, where it gets interesting, and that's Kirk Cousins. Could that happen tonight? I mean, we're all kind of sitting around waiting. You know, one of the things that's true is only two quarterbacks went in round one. What happens at the top of round two with a team like the Cleveland Browns at number one? That's the big question, I think. If the Browns pass on a quarterback tonight in about 50 minutes from now, does that signal to us? Because, I got to go back to, you know, discussions I've had.
Yeah.
I think Joe Flacco is a backup. And so I don't think the Browns are looking at this going, hey, we can win with Joe Flacco. I just don't think he is.
Yeah, you brought this up when we talked about it directly, and I kind of opposed you on this. But I got to say, I think that I am kind of turning the corner in saying that I'm kind of with you now that I do think Cleveland is more in play than I was thinking a couple weeks ago or so.
Well, I think the Falcons, look at it this way. Had the Falcons not drafted Michael Penix, right? And they had had Kirk Cousins, and he played all year last year, and he was healthy, and they were looking for a backup, they might sign Joe Flacco.
Right, yeah, sure, right, right.
You know, so I just don't, look, Joe's had a lot of success in his career. He's got a ring. I just don't view him. I don't think, if you're Cleveland, are you looking at the AFC North going, hey, listen, let's go to battle with Joe Flacco as our quarterback? Or are you saying, hey, we got to kind of upgrade that? Now, let's also put into this, you know, that the mix here is that the Steelers are still out there, and we don't know about Aaron Rodgers, and Minnesota's still out there, and these quarterbacks that have now slid, because depending on Shedeur Sanders, and we'll talk more about him coming up here.
Yeah, he plays a key role.
I'm not sure how much is here, even though it's a list of players that we know. But are you really, you know, it's like when the Falcons turned it over to Des Ridder, you know, in that horrid quarterback draft with Kenny Pickett and Des Ridder being, you know, 1-2 here, that outside of number one at Cam Ward, and I think Cam Ward's a really good player. I think he could be a really good player. He's not the best player in the draft, in my opinion, but he could be an effective NFL quarterback, and maybe Jackson Dart. I think the drop-off may be precipitous, to the point where I don't think any of these teams are looking and saying, sure, I'll draft Quinn Ewers and give him my team.
Right, totally. I mean, it's really interesting. Adam Schefter, I caught him on ESPN earlier today, and he was just kind of talking, not reporting. He was just kind of speculating about what could potentially happen. And he was basically saying that if Shedeur falls below, I think it was pick 83, I think, which is when the Steelers come and pick again at some point here tonight. If he falls past that, like, you know, who knows what could happen? And there could be a long time because there isn't really an obvious spot for him before he gets taken. And Schefter was kind of speculating that at that point, you know, if we do start to see Sanders slide a little bit here tonight, there could be any team, some team that we have not really thought of as being a landing destination for him, that comes and trades into that spot because they have him ranked very highly, and clearly that would be a valuable move for them. So that's going to be a fascinating storyline, John. And I also think that it plays a little bit into potentially a move of Kirk Cousins, because coming into tonight, there was some speculation that potentially the Falcons could, you know, conduct some trade talks after the first round so that Kirk Cousins' camp could see where the quarterbacks landed and get a better kind of, you know, view of the landscape in that regards. But I think with Shedeur Sanders still kind of hanging out there, there might be some, you know, trepidation about pulling the trigger on, you know, going to a certain team, because, you know, he could be picked by them, and that would probably be the last person that Kirk Cousins would want, you know, sitting behind him or in front of him, but probably behind him, waiting in the wings with so much publicity. So there's so much drama happening in this draft, positively for the Falcons, maybe negatively for Sanders, but it's always entertaining, John. It's the best reality show on TV going.
Well, I'll grant you that Sanders is the one guy, at least, especially if he goes early in round two, where I think, you know, Kirk Cousins is hesitant to say, okay, now, in other words, let's go ahead and, you know, he's got kind of a standing, you know, notice to the Falcons that I'll pull my no trade as soon as I give you the signal. And we're speculating,
sure,
here.
Of course,
but
let's say that.
Yeah, let's say that that's the case here. Even with it, look, Shedeur's the only one, though. Okay, ain't Jalen Milroe, okay? It's not Will Howard. It's not Quinn Ewers. There's nobody else out there that he has to worry about if he gets drafted. And there are four teams that need quarterbacks right now: the Browns, the Steelers, the Vikings, and I dare say it, Swampers.
Mm.
What the hell are they going to do?
Yeah.
They're going to go to battle. They're going to go to battle with Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, well, they might take Tyler Shuck. It sounds like, from what I've heard, that they're actually more interested in Shuck than they are in Sanders.
Okay, well, that's fine, but if you're Kirk Cousins, are you worried about – if you're worried about Tyler Shuff, I'm sorry.
Yeah, hey, I hear you. I've been on that camp the whole time. I think it's a little ridiculous about, you know, I guess what he expects to find in a new team as far as, you know, the succession planning for the quarterback situation. But fortunately, I don't have to worry about that, John.
Well, the Browns have two of the first four picks tonight. They have the first pick of the second round. They also have the fourth pick of the second round. So I'm guessing that I'm going to take a wild guess and say the Browns take Shedeur Sanders off the board in one of those two picks.
Okay.
Since they have two.
Yeah.
Since they have two. All right. Rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL Draft live on Sports Radio 92 on the game between now and 10 o'clock. John Fricke and Joe Patrick. Dukes of Bell set us up. We're going to carry it through the evening here. As we get to the top of the hour and the second round, thoughts about the second round, thoughts about where the Falcons are. And by the way, your reaction too. So you can jump into the fray, good, bad, what do you think, what do you like, what do you want to see him do at 404-726-0929. It is Friday night, draft night, live on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Los Angeles Rams have traded the 26th pick to the Atlanta Falcons. With the 26th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select James Pierce Jr., defensive end, Tennessee.
Pierce, I mean, as a pass rusher, I mean, just look at the numbers. Even if you don't watch tape, look at the numbers. Highest pressure rate in football. And that's great, and it's been consistent 2 years. I mean, this is a productive player. He can get off the ball. He's explosive. He's sudden. He's twitchy. He plays with violence. And so whether it's in the run game or the pass game, he's disruptive in that way. Really flies around. Love the way he plays. Love the way he competes.
Who knew that the Atlanta Falcons were going to be the most controversial team in round one? Story in round one, not Shedeur Sanders. It's really not Shedeur Sanders. It's the Atlanta Falcons because, welcome back, by the way, to our live coverage of rounds two and three. The NFL draft begins at the top of the hour. John Fricke alongside Joe Patrick and Garrett Chapman running the show. Phone lines open at 404-22. Almost gave my home phone number out, Joe. I do that occasionally.
You want to do it? I don't care. I can give you a call.
No.
Text
no,
John.
No. 404-726-0929. Just, okay. Ooh, that was a close one.
We'd have, get Garrett ready on the dump right there.
Right. Well, it's your phone number, aren't you? When you say it, I mean, you just automatically go into like, because ESPN Plus said that the Falcons moving back up to get James Pierce was an F, so their first night was an F. Bleacher Report said it was, CBS said it was, like D-, and totally, not worth it. And USA Today called it an A+. And I'm like, yeah, I think it's an A+. One calls it an F, I'm like, wait a second. We had a need where we're the worst, and we get Jalen Walker and James Pierce. What am I missing here, Joe?
Right.
I mean, they spent too much. It was a first-round swap. Somebody said, well, they traded a mid-first from next year for a late. I went, wait, you're assuming the Falcons are going to go 7-10 again?
Right, yeah, exactly. And I think, honestly, I feel like that is the perception of a lot of national media who don't really think about the Falcons very often, don't really kind of know exactly what the Falcons have in that building with some of those players, and they just kind of think about them as a middling to bad football team because that's what they've been for the better part of the last decade, but I think it's totally misguided. And I think the other thing, John, about I would call it an overreaction from some of these outlets and some of these pundits about the trade and the imbalance in the trade is that it happened right after the Giants had just done it. And the difference between those two is the Giants were coming up for Jackson Dart. They were coming up 8 picks. The Falcons were coming up 20 picks. And so if you're trying to convince a team to move out of their first round pick and to go down 8 picks, that's not going to take nearly as much as it is to get convince a team to go out of the first round and not have their first selection in the draft until 46. That's going to take a lot more. And so ultimately, that's why they did it. But the reason that they felt like it was necessary and is because it's going to be so helpful for the team this year. And Terry Fontenot can make the argument that there's no guarantee that there's a pass rusher as good as James Pierce Jr. is in next year's draft. I mean, you look at how the quality of football player that Pierce has put out there on film and in the production, as Terry mentioned in the lead-in here. I think that it's perfectly justifiable. Now, when you look at this kind of point value system that pundits will use to kind of, GMs use them to really build these trades out, and you can kind of judge, where was the imbalance? Of course, that's going to be favored towards the Rams in this case because they have to be persuaded to move out of that pick. So you have to make it worth their while, but I don't think it was outrageous for the Falcons at all. And ultimately, even if you do make an outrageous trade. Like maybe you trade up to take a Travis Hunter or a Julio Jones. You know, and I'm not saying that a player has to be a Hall of Famer, but usually if these players work out and they're as good as you think they are when you draft them, you're not going to be thinking about, you know, the value of that trade years down the line.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's not the value of the pick. It's the production of the player.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You can't really truly judge the value until you actually see how valuable that football player is.
Right. So, and you won't know that for a couple of years, hopefully away, though. I mean, we'll get a pretty good idea. But I mean, now what you have with this young football team, I have two questions I got to ask you, Joe, in a moment here. I've been on the phone and on my iPad talking all bloody day today as we get ready for round two at the top of the hour tonight. But you start looking at this and you think, you know, one of the things Terry Fontenot's done is he's mixed and matched his free agents. He still has, at the moment, money. He would have more money, and this will dovetail into my first question here about Kirk Cousins, if he can trade and unload Kirk Cousins at some point to be able to go out and get some more veterans in here. You bring Justin Simmons back. You could bring Matthew Judon back. I mean, I don't know where you put him at this point. I can't see that happening. But Simmons, you could probably plug back into that secondary in a role, too. But the thing about this is that you have a college all-star team developing in Atlanta. It's Michael Penix. It's, you know, Bijan Robinson. It's Drake London. It's Kyle Pitts. It's James Spears. It's, you know, Jalen Walker. It's turning into a college all-star team, which, I mean, they've got a lot of really good players, but Joe, really good young players.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at this, the core of this team now, and the core is young players. Like you said, players under 25. I actually retweeted Mark Raimondi, the ESPN reporter for the Falcons, tweeted out the whole list, and it's impressive. And not only are they young, but I mean, these are quality players that we're talking about for this team, especially obviously on the offensive side of the football, where the team has invested the majority or all of their first round picks under the Terry Fontenot regime. And those players are obviously panning out really well. And I would hope that that gives you confidence that these players are also going to pan out well. He's hit on most of his first-round picks. You know, Kyle Pitts is a different story, but all the other ones have been really solid, and so hopefully these players follow suit. But, yeah, that's kind of what struck me, John, about this draft when the dust had kind of settled last night after everything, and I was driving home. I'm just thinking about the team, and I mentioned it in the first segment that, you know, this defense feels more athletic, more dynamic, and I think that that's just kind of the new kind of vibe of this team right now. Is they're young, they're I think they're like excited as a group to kind of see what they are and really prove to people that they can kind of be this new era of Falcons football. And that is kind of what it feels like. Obviously, you're going to have that when you're making a quarterback change as well. And so it all kinds of plays into it that this is a new kind of feeling around the organization as they move into the Michael Penix era.
All right, I want to talk about, we mentioned the four teams out there, because we have radar up here. I want to set expectations here. I'm not anticipating necessarily anything with Kirk Cousins today or tomorrow or until after June 1st, all right? Or it could be end of the year. I know that some of the national experts said that what the Falcons did yesterday automatically locks Kirk Cousins in to a backup role beginning of the season. That may be true. It may not be true. I don't think you can say that, you know, unilaterally, because again, you could put a lot of things to the side here. Terry Fontenot's rolling the dice, and he's rolling it hard because he's betting on himself. He's betting on Raheem because he's under this is the national media didn't get this. He's under direct orders that you better do this or you're going to be fired. So you have four teams out there that could be in the kind of derby for Kirk Cousins at some point. I'm going to take out for the moment, I'm going to take Minnesota and Pittsburgh out, and I want to talk about the Browns and the Saints. So in the course of all these discussions I was having today, one person asked me something interesting. They said, the Browns do have, you know, the first two of the first four picks tonight. Let's say the Browns they're in love. I would just pick a name. They're in love with Luther Burden. They're going to use the first pick of the second round on Luther Burden. They do not like Shedeur Sanders. They aren't sold on Joe Flacco. So they are willing to give the Falcons the fourth pick of the second round for Kirk Cousins, if the Falcons eat the entire contract, would you do it?
That is tough, John. That is tough because I do wonder. It depends on what the Falcons' plans are in terms of what they're going to use the money on that they're planning to get back for Kirk Cousins. I'm sure they don't have an exact number because, as we've heard, there's kind of a sliding scale, and that's what's being negotiated is how much money some of these teams are going to take on. But there's one player out there, John, who would cost some money but could be a real game changer for this Falcons team, and that's Jalen Ramsey. He's a player who currently is under contract with the Dolphins, and he's on the trade block, basically. He wants to leave, and he has a great relationship with Raheem Morris, where they won a Super Bowl together in L.A., and it would certainly be – you would certainly think the Falcons would have an inside track there if they wanted to sign him, but again, would you actually need some of that money from Kirk Cousins' cap relief, basically, from Kirk Cousins' contract in order to make that feasible?
I mean, if Will Johnson is there, would you say that wipes out Jalen Ramsey, I mean, at the number four pick? All right, so anyway, that's just one thing. Okay, all right, so here's the other, because I got a minute until we got to get to the break. That's the Swampers here. There are – somebody asked me yesterday, do you think – and is it possible – that the Swampers will not take Shedeur Sanders? As a matter of fact, is it possible the Swampers will just take like offensive linemen, live with Spencer Rattler, hope to go 3-14 and get Arch Manning next year?
Yes, I think that's 100% possible. I really do. From what I've heard, they're actually not that. When I say what I've heard, just from listening to other reporters on the major networks, it sounds like they're not in love with him, and clearly they weren't to take him in the first round. I think a lot of people thought that was a possibility. So, yeah, I would think that they've got so much work to do rebuilding that offensive line after Ryan Ramczyk's retirement. It was a big part of that. Sounds like they didn't pick up the fifth-year option on their other tackle, Trevor Penning. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them just continue to do the eat their vegetables, basically, in this draft.
It is rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. We are live on 92.9 The Game. John Fricke along with Joe Patrick. In about 25 minutes, the Browns will be on the clock for round number 2. At the moment, the Falcons have a third-round pick, and we'll see if that changes in any way, shape, or form. And obviously, we'll keep you up to date on all of those. We'll go through some of the best players available and take a quick look ahead to round 2 next. You're always welcome to be part of the discussion with Joe and I, 404-726-0929. Draft day number 2, live on your home of the NFL Draft, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Legendary Shedeur Sanders, where will he go? Does he go with the first pick tonight to the Cleveland Browns? Wouldn't shock anybody if the Browns, first pick of the round 2, Shedeur Sanders, quarterback, Colorado. I'm not sure it would shock anybody if all of a sudden he kept falling and falling and falling. I don't know that the NFL really knows where he is. Back with John and Joe as we are now 19 minutes away from the start of round 2 live on 92.9 The Game and our coverage of the NFL draft. One more thing on this quarterback, and I want to kind of move back on to go back to the Falcons a little bit if I can. But, Joe, to this draft and the quarterbacks, it strikes me that let's just go with a couple of things. There are 4 teams that apparently are not settled at quarterback. Maybe they are more settled than I think. I don't know that Pittsburgh is with Mason Rudolph. I don't know that Minnesota is with J.J. McCarthy, New Orleans with Spencer Rattler, or Cleveland at Joe Flacco. Maybe they're more settled than I think they are. But if Shedeur Sanders is not viewed by these NFL teams as a day one starter, and it's becoming pretty obvious at the moment that he may not be, none of the rest of the quarterbacks available are viewed as day one starters. And I think that really speaks well or to the benefit of the Falcons that the interest in Kirk Cousins and the price of Kirk Cousins continues to go up a little bit.
Right, exactly, because he is a guy who can come in and immediately play. And again, I think that people are down on him as a quarterback, and I get it. He finished that season horribly, but you could easily point to the fact that he was 6-3, and that was at the beginning half, or the earlier half, the more recent half of him coming off of the Achilles surgery than the back half, which obviously his poor production was caused by the issues he had with his shoulder and elbow from that hit that he took against New Orleans. And so yeah, I think that he is. I think he's a very palatable option for some of these teams, John. I was just talking with Garrett during the break. I ultimately think that Pittsburgh is a landing spot that makes a lot of sense for him with a coordinator and Arthur Smith, who I'm sure did due diligence on Kirk Cousins, even when he was still here as the head coach, because they knew that they were moving on from Desmond Ridder and they were going to go in a different direction. And so, you know, and he's a quarterback that can theoretically do a lot of the things that Arthur Smith wants in his offense, which is, you know, to complete and play action and complete passes across the middle of the field. Now, he didn't do a lot of the play action stuff last year because of the limitations with the Achilles, but I think that he will be even better in that respect next year. And so, yeah, I think that honestly, I think that he's a much more attractive option at quarterback than is being led on, because I think this draft is kind of in the way. And once we get beyond that, I think it's already starting to become clearer that he is a better option than a lot of these guys.
Right. And the question becomes, you know, if, for example, you know, Cleveland takes Shadur. Let's just say there's two quarterbacks that have been taken already, Cam Ward and Jackson Dart. Certainly Cam Ward's a day one starter. Is Jackson Dart a day one starter?
No.
Probably.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson's going to start.
Yeah.
So, not probably. So, yeah. I mean, you got, you know, Russell, don't you have Jameis still too?
Yeah, they do. But I believe Brian Daboll's already said that Russell Wilson will be the starting quarterback there.
No, I know, but I mean, Jackson, they trade for Jackson Dart, they already have two quarterbacks.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, right. Yeah. Which just goes to show, yeah, these are not starting quarterbacks we're talking about that are left in the draft here.
Right. So, because you're talking, you know, I don't think Jalen Milroe's a day one starter, Will Howard, Quinn Ewers, Kyle McCord, Dylan Gabriel, Tyler Shough, Riley Leonard, Brady Cook. I do think the Falcons have three picks, okay? They have one tonight at the moment again. You know, if they don't move in some form or fashion in and around the draft in rounds two and three tonight, they have a third round pick. They have a fourth round pick coming up tomorrow. They have a seventh round pick at number 218 way late in the draft. By the way, it wouldn't shock me way late in the draft at 218 if one of those quarterbacks, if Riley Leonard's there, maybe they take a Riley Leonard, you know? And, man, you know, you got Easton Stick, you know, I mean, might as well draft Riley Leonard if you're thinking of passing on. You know, Kirk Cousins is going to be traded, so you need a third quarterback anyway. So if you like one of those guys well enough to put him on your practice squad, then you can do that. So, that, I mean, I'm not saying they would, but I think it's something that they could do.
Mm-hmm.
So what is, for tonight, third round, what is the priority in the area where the Falcons are going to draft? You're looking at, it's pick number 101, so it's going to be late tonight at the moment. But just looking at some of the best players available in and around picks 101 and 118. Tate Ratledge of Georgia, the offensive lineman. Zay Frazier from UT San Antonio, big 6'3 cornerback. Showed out a little bit at the combine. Miles Frazier, offensive lineman, LSU. Cam Scataboo. Now, you're saying, why would I want Cam Scataboo from Arizona State? Because he's a football player, dude. He's a football player. You don't need a third running back, but, boy, he could be a help on special teams. He could help you in a lot of ways. Plus, if you're thinking about moving on from Tyler Allgeier at the end of the year, having a Cam Scataboo there might be a nice insurance policy for you to have. So there's no real wide receivers, though, in that area. So that I think are any good. That's like a Troy Horton, who I watched play at Colorado State a couple of times because I'm a Mountain West guy. He's okay. But is he better than Kadarius Hodge? No. So he's certainly not better than Mooney. So I'm not really sure what the point of taking a wide receiver there is. I'm not sure he's better than Casey Washington. So at that point, it's like, why would you do that? So I'm wondering where the Falcons kind of lean. I think if they could find a finagle a way to trade up to get a Jared Wilson, say trade up to, I don't know, to earlier in the third round, you take that fourth rounder and trade up to get a Jared Wilson. As far as I'm concerned, Joe, if you took the third and fourth rounder, you moved up a whole bunch into the third round to get a Jared Wilson, and you had Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr., and Jared Wilson, I'd say, you know what? I'm good. If you get anybody else in the seventh round, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
I just call that the draft.
Right. Yeah, totally. And because there's still going to be a wave of free agency that happens at some point this summer, there's probably going to be some stuff that happens after the draft with guys getting some transactions. And then obviously after June 1st, there's going to be a whole another wave of some guys getting cut and some ability for the team to go ahead and address some needs. And there's even still players out there. You know, there are still free agents out there, like a Justin Simmons, you know, or I'm not suggesting that that's, you know, likely, but just as an example of, you know, moves that the Falcons could make to help address some of these holes, because we've come into this draft and it's, you know, been some very clear needs for the Falcons, but I don't think it's one of those situations where you have to feel like you've got to draft one player in each single one of these boxes. sometimes maybe the smarter move is, to your point, like, for example, with a Cam Scadaboo to go there just because he's the best player available, and he's going to help your team, and he's going to be around for, you know, 4 years, and you know you're going to have to, you know, move on from Tyler Allgeier most likely at some point after this season. So, yeah, I mean, I think that they should just – honestly, I would just keep with the mantra of kind of going with the best player available to them that's at least has some way of contributing to the team. But even if it's on the interior of the defensive line, if it is at safety or somewhere, you know, someone who can play the nickel, I think they could go in a bunch of different directions with this tonight, John.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating night to watch. Does Shedeur Sanders come off at the top of the second round? What do the Browns do with the first and fourth picks? Because if the Browns go with a Luther Burden and a Will Robinson, let's just say that they do that. Will Johnson, pardon me. Will Robinson. if they go with those two, if they go with Will Johnson from Michigan and Luther Burden in some order, and they don't take a quarterback, again, are you telling me that you're good with Joe Flacco, or is that a leading indicator that they are in on some kind of a deal for Kirk Cousins at some point in some way?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget that we have the whole Chipotle trip, right? We have the Chipotle.
Right, that's right. We do.
Right? We have the Chipotle trip a mile away from the Browns team doctor, you know, where the agent's tweeting out the picture of the Chipotle people with Kirk Cousins and the agent's going, I don't know where he was. And I'm like, dude, you took the picture. Stop it, you know? What do you mean? You were standing right there.
On more of a high level, I do love the draft for this reason, which is, you know, there's all these rumors and speculations about what teams, you know, like which players and what teams are looking to address certain needs. And we have these moments, like in particular, you know, when the second round's about to start and you've got a team like the Browns who are in this situation, there's a clear player they could take. But these are the moments where we learn how much do they like Shedeur Sanders, for example. We're going to learn that probably in the next, 20 minutes here when they're about to pick. So that's what I love. And we learned about the Falcons last night, too, just how much they valued addressing the needs they did. And so we're going to find some answers to some questions we've had.
Well, you know, it did answer another thing for me, Joe, and that was one of the big questions I had. When the Falcons drafted Braylon Trice, they said, look, we value him alongside Dallas Turner and Jared Verse. I was like, you value him alongside Jared Verse? Okay. And then he got injured, mm-hmm. and we didn't see him play at all last year. And I kept saying, well, if they really value him, and, you know, Jeff Ulbrich's not talking to us about this, either Braylon Trice isn't 100-100, or they've looked at him and said that the injury, you know, slowed him down or whatever. But right now, Braylon Trice isn't figuring in. He's not in there too deep. I mean, if you look at the outside linebackers, you drafted Walker and Pierce to both start, right? I mean,
I don't know.
Abigetti and Floyd, I think, are rotational guys. I mean, well, the four of them are going to be rotational guys.
Right,
right?
Of course. Yep. Basketball
Walker,
team.
But
that's the idea.
Right, exactly. But it's Jalen Walker, Arnold Ebiketie on one side, James Pierce Jr., Leonard Floyd on the other. Braylon Trice doesn't figure into that.
He's got to work his way in, no doubt about it. You know, he's got his work cut out for him, too, in that respect, with all the kind of talent that the team has amassed now in some of these positions. But I would say, to me, James Pierce Jr. feels like he's going to kind of be introduced into the NFL as kind of a designated pass rusher. In fact, at Tennessee, he didn't really play a lot of snaps. They would be strategic with when they got him in the game, but he's just so damn good at winning his pass rushes that he still racked up all, you know, these, you know, I think he was second in the country in 2023 in pass rush win rate. Just, you know, accrued unbelievable statistics despite the fact that he wasn't an every down player. Because I think there are still questions about how much he can hold up in the run. I think the Falcons will want to put some weight on him in order to be able to do that. But that's not a process that takes, you know, a couple years. And I think that they can still get a lot of value out of him as being a designated pass rusher. We see that all around the NFL. You know, the best teams have those guys that they bring in those pass rushing situations. So I still think he can have value, but it will be interesting to see who kind of shakes out among the starting group, the base defense group amongst these edge defenders.
I understand that Ian Rappaport is saying that Tyler Shough will be the first quarterback taking the Louisville quarterback.
There we go.
Yeah, well, wow. If he is, if he's getting that, then the only place he's getting it from is the Browns.
Right.
So then the Browns would be going, okay, we're going to go with Flacco ahead of Tyler Shough if we believe. And by the way, you know, star quarterbacks, you know, sometimes Drew Brees was a second-round pick. Brett Favre was a second-round pick. We all know about Tom Brady. Lamar Jackson was the last pick in round one, almost a second round pick. So just because they dropped to the second round or something doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, look, the Bears took Mitchell Trubisky, number one, and 10 picks later, the Chiefs took Patrick Mahomes. So there you go.
Yeah. And Drew Brees was a top of the second round. I believe he was the first pick of the second round. Is that
Yeah,
is
I believe
that right?
So, yeah. Yeah, that was part of that whole Michael Vick stuff. You know, because the Chargers
that's
ended
right.
up, you know,
that's trading, right, it was. Yeah, yeah.
Trading Vick, they traded Vick, and they got LaDainian Tomlinson, and then they used their first pick of the second round to take Drew Brees.
Some legends there.
How about those two picks back-to-back? LaDainian Tomlinson and Drew Brees. Okay. That's pretty good. That's a good start.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah, except he wasn't that good. And San Diego kept throwing interceptions.
Right.
He was like interception machine.
Yeah, there was a medical issue, a concern with him, and I guess he got
with
that
his shoulder
at some point. Right, the shoulder. Yep.
Well, he goes down to Miami, and he's going to be Nick Saban's quarterback at Miami with the Dolphins. And if Saban signs off on that, Drew Brees becomes a Dolphin. He never goes to New Orleans. Swampers don't ever win a Super Bowl. And Saban may not ever come to Alabama because he's winning Super Bowls in Miami.
Yeah.
So you never know, okay? This is why everybody says, I can't believe you did that. Because you never know. Gump, it sucks. He shouldn't have been drafted fourth overall. You know the two picks in front of him were? No. Go look, because Zach Wilson and Trey Lance
that's right
sucked, okay? All right, anyway. Round two, top, let's find out. Cleveland Browns on the clock, followed by the Texans, who get this pick by that Jackson Dart trade. The Titans, who will they pair with Cam Ward, and then the Browns again. First four on the board, and what will the Falcons do tonight? Round two begins as soon as we get back. Live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your home of the NFL Draft.